Serafita Holtz, welcome.
Thank you.
The COVID-19 pandemic is ongoing and has created struggles for all of us. I feel like I need to start just by asking, how are you during these crazy times?
Well, they certainly are crazy times. And I would say that I was furloughed and then laid off from my position as the editor of Fort Wayne Magazine. And in reality, I actually moved here 10 months ago for the job at Fort Wayne Magazine. So now I'm in the process of developing what I call my plan B plus, because I always thought, one, I never liked just getting a B in school. And two, I thought the plus would give it a good spin. So I'm sort of looking at and evaluating what it is that I want to do, how I can put my skills and talents to work maybe in new and different ways, as well as developing and exploring personal passion projects that I've had for a very long time. And this is one of those.
So this interview will eventually be towards the top of our web post where listeners can find episodes of your new show and Good Company. We'll be carrying it on WBOI Presents and as a podcast. Elevator speech version, what can listeners expect to hear when they listen to And Good Company?
The idea is that when you go to a dinner party, it's not really about the food that makes it great. It's about the company and the conversations and interactions that they have. And so taking that idea and believing that there are so many interesting and engaging people in our community that are doing really interesting and innovative things, that it's an opportunity to get to have a seat at the table and enjoy listening to conversation with these incredible and interesting and dynamic individuals in our community.
One thing I found as we've been going through isolation and quarantine and social distancing is that the creative energy still finds a way to bubble to the surface. Tell me about the development of And Good Company, because it's amazing that we still find ways to create during these crazy times.
Well, I think I used my idea of the uncertain times is the idea that you have time to maybe explore and do things that you either always wanted to do or have put off. So I think it's more of looking at that this crisis in a way has given us in some cases, because we are working at home and we can't have as many gatherings and events and activities for work colleagues or with friends, and because we're not commuting, so we have this extra time that we can take this luxury of time and utilize it to pursue some of these different projects and endeavors. So I sort of looked at it because when I was originally furloughed and I didn't necessarily know what I was going to do, that I said to myself, okay, I've always had several what I call personal passion projects, and that I was going to use this time to develop those. And that's really how And Good Company came about, because I've been a working journalist for almost 30 years. And it wasn't about using this time to be able to need to write another article or, you know, develop another freelance job, which right now there aren't that many anyway. But it was really for me to look at how I can work to develop either skills or ideas that I've always had or things that I've wanted to do to expand my own experiences and skill set.
When I think of podcasts compared to on-air content, podcasts are typically more free form. When you and I started talking about And Good Company, you mentioned that you ask each interviewee the same 12 questions as part of the conversation. Tell me more about the 12 questions and why you decided to make them a part of the podcast.
The 12 questions are actually part of a Victorian parlor game that was made popular by the French author Marcel Proust. And partly when I created And Good Company, I will admit that it was an ode to some of the interviewers that I have just always admired. And those include Charlie Rose, Terry Gross, and James Lipton of Inside the Actors Studio. And fortunately, James Lipton has passed away. But James Lipton always ended his show with asking actors questions from Marcel Proust's questionnaire, So I decided it, and because that wasn't going to be continued, because obviously he passed away, and there is also the use of these, the Marcel Proust questions, there's 38 of them, I believe, at the last page of Vanity Fair magazine, they do their interpretation of the Marcel Proust questionnaire, and they ask celebrities in each, you know, for each issue questions. So the idea of it was that Marcel Proust believed that by answering the questions, you would gain true insight into, and it would reveal the real inner thinkings and desires of the person being asked. And because traditionally as a journalist, we sort of ask questions that sort of are based on the answers that we get or based on what kind of content or information we're looking to garner for, you know, to write a story or to do a newscast or what have you, that I thought it would be interesting to use a way to measure consistency in questions and answers by asking everybody the same 12 questions. So I picked 12 that I thought would really give people something that they wouldn't necessarily know about the person that I was interviewing. And I thought it would be a fun way that eventually we would be able to compare sort of what different people's answers are. And they actually are very insightful. And because they do not get the questions beforehand, and I don't ever discuss prior to an interview what the questions will be or what the topics that will be covered, I really just tell them that it's going to be a conversation. So what they get is the at the end with these 12 questions, that it's really whatever comes quickly to their mind. And so I think it's really interesting to be able to see that. And I just thought it was a fun way to sort of be able to, again, create a little structure to the conversation, that and that way it would be a nice way to be able to measure when you ask consistently everybody the same questions over time, you're going to develop a nice kind of reflective way to look back at the conversations and who these people are.
Hosting a podcast really does give you the opportunity to spend an extended amount of time hearing interesting stories from creative people, and you learn a lot. What's a moment that sticks out to you so far from episodes that you've recorded that touched your heart in a way that you didn't expect?
Ironically, it was actually the first interview and episode that I did, which was with Rabbi Paula Winig, who was serving as the interim rabbi of the Temple congregation in Fort Wayne. And I realized that by interviewing her, that I really wished I would have gotten to know her and been able to participate as a congregant in the temple while she was here. I was sort of considering and evaluating, since I moved here, if I would join or not join. And I actually joined after when she has gone. And I really did wish that I really got to know her, because I think as a spiritual leader, and she just had such incredible insight and ways to think about things. And she has a very calming presence, but she's also very enthusiastic and engaging, and she's very positive. So I really would have wished that I had gotten to know her more. And that's sort of how I sort of look at who I decide that I want to interview or have conversations with. It's really people that either I've come across or someone has told me about, or actually in a lot of cases, these are people that I've met and then I've interviewed previously. But I think that they're so interesting and dynamic that they are really people I would personally want to have dinner with. And so, as much as, you know, also as a trained journalist, I'm trying to ensure that I make sure we cover, you know, people from all backgrounds, diversities, demographics, and looking at people in a wide range of fields and having different experiences. But in truth, it's also a lot of this is about who it is that I just really want to talk to. And, you know, I think that that's really what I found is so enjoyable about doing this. And also what I really thought about was when I was thinking about how to frame the show is the idea that when you, by asking and listening and learning, we discover what we know, and just as importantly, what we don't know. And I like the idea that what I really feel is, you know, I have always been a print journalist. That's primarily been my medium. And what I really have discovered is what I like about audio and video is that it allows you to capture the smart and important conversations as they happen, and someone can actually listen to them or watch them and see the words coming out of the person's mouth. So there's none of this issue that when in print that they could be misquoted or taken out of context, or, you know, that I misinterpreted what they said. So I really like that idea, especially in this time of fake news and people not believing that what people say or how it was interpreted. And I really like the idea of really looking at and exploring different medium for the capabilities and what they really offer to somebody. And both as the producer of the content and also as someone as the user of the content. And so that's what also has been really interesting to me, is that I really want people to be able to hear or watch these conversations as they unfold. I really feel that that's important for people mm-hmm. to know, because I think we are in this time of, it's too easy for people to think that with editing or the context of how something is presented, that it's not real or truthful, or it's fake. And so I like the idea that this is not a medium for me to interpret what I've heard. It's a medium where I am recording what somebody is saying in real time as they are saying it. And I think that that's really a different approach. And I think it's a very important way to think about how you utilize different media for different purposes.
Speaking for my own efforts at WBOI, you're only as good as your partners and your production team. Who's involved in helping to make this show possible?
Because this is a personal passion project, there was not a lot of dollars behind it, because that would be my personal. And I also am really believe in utilizing community resources. And I have worked and talked to and looked at Access Fort Wayne, which is the community public television channel. And then they also have WELT, radio station, and it's located, their studios are located in the downtown Allen County Library branch, and anybody can use them. They're designed to be a way for the public to have access to create content based on the First Amendment and the ability that everybody who wants to present content has a means to do that. So I've worked with them, and they've been really excited and helpful in providing not only the studio to tape the show, but also in the behind the scenes of the editing and getting it ready and being able to provide WBOI with the proper format. And then I also have my producer, his name is Joshua Shipper, and he's actually going to be a junior at Purdue. And so he is my intern, and he's been really helping with the recording and editing and developing the social media aspects of it. So I think what you also realize is, when you have a good idea and you're willing to put in the time and do what it takes, you'll actually find that there's quite a bit of people in the community who will help you. Just like how I reached out to you and said, I'm doing this show and we're going to pull out the audio, and I would love to explore a way to get to a bigger audience, which is through WBOI and your efforts to help to bring new voices and additional local content to the airwaves. So I think if you're enterprising, industrious, politely persistent, which is what I am, and determined, and sort of have that grit and fortitude, you'd really be amazed at what you can achieve.
Sarah Fiedelholtz, given WBOI will be carrying And Good Company, welcome to the family. I'm excited to hear more very soon, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.